You can go ahead and open your Bibles up to James chapter 4. We'll be there in just a second. We're continuing our series on the book of James, and that will take us through the month of August. But just a note, next Sunday, we're going to step away from James, and Garrett Castleberry is going to preach for us. So we're looking forward to that. Garrett has done a great job working with Alan and the youth ministry this year. We appreciate that so much. And so he's going to bring our message next week, AM and PM, and he'll probably share some of what he learned or what he experienced this summer working with our youth ministry. And so we look forward to what Garrett has to tell us about next week. So we are busy. Right? Are you busy? I'm busy. It seems like all the time there is just stuff going on. Many of us, and I've this is true for me. I've got a calendar app on my phone. I've also got a calendar that's available to me on the on my laptop. So continually, I'm needing to check that calendar. And probably all of us are like that these days. Always referring to our phone to see what's going on, to be reminded about the meeting that we have coming up next week, to remember that we need to pick our son up from soccer practice this year or this week. Not this year. I don't know why I said it that way. Right? Maybe that we need to call our mom or our dad or our kids. Right? We're busy and we rely on things like a calendar app on our phone to help us to get things done. You ever notice nowadays, like when you ask someone how they're doing, what is like the typical response? Right? It's, I'm busy. Busy as ever. You know, things are just really busy. And then you ask them how they're doing and how do they respond? Busy, busy as ever. Man, things are just so busy, right? We know something about this busyness. Now, if someone asked us how we're doing, none of us, I don't think, would ever dare say, I've got nothing going on. I'm not doing anything. I've just had another relaxing day, right? We're not going to say something like that in fear that they may think that we are lazy or unimportant, or aren't needed by anyone. And so, day after day, we just say, I'm busy. Busy as ever. School's starting up soon, and for some of the parents here, you know it's about to crank up even more, right? Busy running kids to school, after school programs, different extracurricular activities. Busy as ever. Now, with all of this busyness, if we're not careful, we can start to believe that we are in control of our lives. Let's read again James 4, 13 through 17. And once again, have you ever noticed this about looking at James? James continually just hits us right where we live. And it's the same with this passage as well. James 4, 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Thanks, James. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So James is like that prize boxer, right? Just hits us in the gut one time after another, and he does so in a major way here. Back to verse 13. We'll sort of unpack this verse by verse. James starts, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. James' world was really not that much different than our world. There were business people back in the first century. There were deals to be made, trades to take place, money to be gained. It wasn't all that much different. They had plans. Perhaps, I don't know what the word busy is in Greek, but maybe that's what they said to one another. How you doing? Busy, right? Have so much going on. Maybe they were thinking like business people today, specifically salespeople, right? Thinking ABC, always be closing. So James says, that's what you're about. You say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. They were busy. So James says this in verse 14. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So some have well thought out plans for their life. And I know there's probably some here that think, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. But for some of us, we know what we're going to do tomorrow, the next day, next week, our calendar app on our phone. I mean, we know what's going to be happening in August 2nd of 2016, right? We have so much going on. We have to schedule to that level. So some have well thought out plans for their life. And they think they know for sure what they're going to do tomorrow, right? There's business to be done. And James, right then and there, says, no one knows what will happen tomorrow. And then he speaks to the brevity of life, right? He says, what is your life? And then he says, that verse that just kind of maybe makes us feel a little bit smaller, maybe we need to feel a little bit smaller. He says, your life is a mist. Your life is a vapor. Goes up. In just a second or two, it's gone. Let me ask you, when was the first time that you realized that life was brief? Was it maybe at the funeral of a loved one? Maybe it was even at the bedside of someone that you loved very much who was dying. So with this role with the church, I spent quite a bit of time at hospitals. And when you spend a lot of time at hospitals, you often have to reflect, whether you want to or not, you have to reflect on how life is brief. There are people that are dying, people that get sick, people that need the care of medical staff. And I've even kind of become sort of numb to it, right? Walking down hallways at the hospital or at the nursing home. But from time to time, I just have that moment, man, life is really brief. James, you're right. Life is like a vapor. It is like a mist. But don't miss James' point here. James is seeking to humble us. We would love to say that life is like a mountain, right? Strong and sturdy. Or maybe like a redwood. Have you ever seen the redwoods in California? Right? Wouldn't it be nice if James said, life is like a redwood. It's just huge. You could drive a car right through its trunk. It's just so big and sturdy. Or life is like an ocean. Just huge. You can look out and all you see is water. We'd like it if James said, that's what our life is like. But don't miss James's point here. He's seeking to humble us. Yeah, you have plans. You think you know what's going to be happening tomorrow. What is your life? James answers his own question, like James likes to do. Your life is like a mist. Verse 15 then, he says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, I don't think James is saying you need to sound real cute and religious, right? Now, if it's the Lord's will and the creek don't rise and things like that. Now, it's not wrong to say any of those things, but I don't think that's what James is trying to do here. James has a bigger point in mind. James is saying it is about recognizing that God is in control and you are not. All that you are doing and all that you will do is a gift from God. You have your life and your being through the will of God. James is about humbling us. Have y'all ever traveled on an airline and been delayed any amount of time, or maybe you missed a connection and it wasn't your fault? Isn't it like an airline travel, you are reminded oftentimes over and over again that you are not in control, right? No matter how badly you want to get on that plane, no matter how badly you want that plane to leave at the time that the internet told you it was going to leave, sometimes it just doesn't leave at that time, right? Airline travel, for whatever reason, it just kind of reminds you that you are not in control. Maybe some of you on Friday night looked out at the blue moon, right? I actually forgot to do that, but maybe some of you did that, right? And did you have a moment? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you did. Did you have a moment when you were looking at the moon or looking at the sky that you just recognized the grandness, the bigness of the world, even just the sky? And maybe as you recognize just how big the world is, and reflected that God created the world, maybe even in that moment you recognize just how small you are. There was a moment for me that it just really became clear to me that I am not in control of my life in the way that I think that I'm in control of my life. So Sarah and I went out to Southern California for a wedding. And it was a great wedding. And we spent a couple days after the wedding in San Diego. One of the days, we decided to go to Coronado Beach and just enjoy the beach. And so I really wanted a boogie board before going to the beach because it always looks like the people that are on boogie boards are having fun. You know, a boogie board, it's kind of like a surfboard, but you just lay on it. It's like it's for the poor man's surfboard, essentially. So I got a boogie board and I was going out and just catching waves. It was just having a great time. It was so much fun. Sarah was just chilling on the beach. We were just having a great day. I came back to where Sarah was sitting. I said, okay, I'm probably kind of getting towards the end of the day. I'm going to go on just one last run. So I went back out into the ocean and just kind of walking in there, got my boogie board set. And right before I was going to leave on my last ride, riding this huge wave that was probably like 2 feet high, I just had this awful pain in my foot, just terrible pain. And so, like, to the point I couldn't get on the boogie board. My foot hurt so bad. And so I, like, started swimming in toward the beach. And I am no Michael Phelps, but I was getting in just as quickly as I could. And I started running to where Sarah was sitting. My foot was just hurting. When I got out of the water, I looked, and there was blood gushing from the bottom of my foot. And so I was running as fast as I can to Sarah, pointing to my foot. To which Sarah just looked at me. She's like, yeah, good job. I'm like, no, my foot is killing me. And so I didn't know what happened. I got to Sarah, and then we got over to the lifeguard station. And the lifeguard, I thought this was the biggest deal in the world. I thought I was going to die. And the lifeguard's like, yeah, you got stung by a stingray. It's, you know, it happens quite a bit. Yeah, there's pictures of it. There's me boogie boarding, and there's me in the lifeguard station. And all you do is soak your foot in hot water. So if you ever get stung by a stingray, well, if it's not your foot, I don't know how you would do it, but you're soaking in hot water, and I guess that draws the venom out or something like that. Like, on that day, I realized that I am not in control. That was my trip. That was my time at the beach. That was our money that was being spent going to Southern California. And just like that, it was done. And you think about the ocean, that is a whole other world, isn't it? There's fish there. There are little things that can sting you and hurt you, right? There are sharks that can attack you, and some people are able to fight back, you know, however that works. It's a whole other world. We're not in control. Looking at creation reminds us of that. So the sun came up today. What part did you play in the sun coming up? Right? You had life today. You continue to breathe. What part do you have in giving yourself breath? We are not in control, and I believe that's James' point. What is your life, James asks. Verse 16, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. To the actions of the business people, I think he's referring back to verse 13. It's boastful and arrogant, thinking, yeah, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I know what my plans are. They believed they were the center of the universe, that no regard for God. They acted as if their future was secure. We don't know if our future is secure. God knows. We don't. So James, several times in this book, sort of talks about this relationship between pride and humility, right? Remember in chapter 2, they showed favoritism. He gives this example of showing favoritism toward a rich person and ignoring the man of humble circumstance. In chapter 3, James said that wisdom is doing things in humility. And then earlier in chapter 4, what we looked at last week, is James said, we just flat out says that we should humble ourselves before the Lord. God is God. And this, I think this is what James is trying to get across to us. God is God, and we are not. We need to know our place. For many of us, me included, there's oftentimes we sort of approach life like it's a movie. And we are the star of the movie, right? It's all about us. We're the Tom Cruise or the whoever else. You know, the movie's about us. We make the movie. And so what happens when we think that life is a movie and we are the star of it, then everybody else is like an extra in the movie. It's about advancing the plot of my own life. It's about what I do. It's about who I am. It's about my characteristics, things like that. James is saying, God is God, you are not. It's about Him first and foremost. Now verse 17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. This is that sin of omission we talk about, right? Knowing what we should do and not doing it. I think James' point though is if we aren't careful, we can contract the tomorrow condition. You know what the tomorrow condition is? I'll serve tomorrow. I'll encourage that person tomorrow. I'll help out where those folks need help tomorrow. I'll cherish the time with my family tomorrow. And what we see with James, so much is about helping those that are disenfranchised, right? Pushed to the margins, like widows and orphans. Perhaps they think, well, I'll help those people who need the help, like widows and orphans, tomorrow. Don't you remember? I have my plans. My tomorrow is already taken up with what I want to do. Can't you hear James yelling at this time? Your life is a mist, James says. It's a mist. It's not just about not doing stuff, but about doing what is right today. Your life is a mist. We're all busy, right? All of us have calendars that are full. But in all of this, I think we continually need to be reflecting on the question, is my life going to be about God, or is it going to be about me? And really, that question is of eternal consequence, right? Are we going to live for God or are we going to live for me? It has eternal consequences. But I think it's not just about what's happening eternally, but I think it's about what's happening in the present as well. James is calling us to live a life in the kingdom right now. So James knew about this collision. It's a collision that's even happening today. It's a collision between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. We know that the kingdom of God is characterized by things like faith, hope, love, peace, joy, meaning, purpose, and mission, right? James is saying, are you going to live your life in alignment with that kingdom? Or are you going to choose to live your life in the alignment of the kingdom of the world, which is about pride, arrogance, hate? It's all about me. It's about what I get, how I'm going to live my own life. See, James knew there was a collision of kingdoms happening. And he said, know your place, humble yourself before God, and align yourself with the kingdom of God. Thomas Kempis, a theologian from way back, said this, for by wrongly loving myself in an evil way, I lost myself. But by seeking you and sincerely loving you alone, that you is God, I have found both myself and you. And by that love, I have even more deeply reduced myself to nothing. God is God. I am not. I need to know my place, and you need to know your place as well. So James asked the question, what is your life? There was a man that was in his upper 80s. He had been a missionary all over the world. I heard this story told by a man named Lynn Anderson. So this man had preached all over the world, but now his health was very bad. He was in a bad situation. He spent most days in bed. One day, his wife, who had been caring for him very faithfully for many years at this point, heard scurrying in the bedroom. She thought, what is going on with my husband? So she went into the bedroom, and here her husband was sitting on the edge of the bed. He still had his pajamas on, but he was putting on his tennis shoes, doing the best he could to get his tennis shoes on. And she said, honey, what are you doing? And he said, Jesus said that we are to preach the gospel to all nations. I'm getting my shoes on so I can go preach. God is God. We are not. I want to finish with this question. What is your life? It's the same question that James asked. What is your life? Know your place. Know your place. There's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly. As we do every Sunday, we want you to know that you can come forward and let us know what's going on in your life, and we'd be so glad to pray with you for you. Perhaps there is someone here today that is ready to put Jesus on in baptism. We'd be so just thrilled, really, to assist you in that, and more importantly, to witness you make that decision that has eternal consequences. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and we continue our worship.